it. I just can't take it sometimes. I've been fiending for a feeding corner, a piece of mind. 'Cause they can't throw no arms around you if they're broken. Whoa. I'll be fighting towards some gates till they open. I'm hoping.
Welcome back to another episode of The Roundtable. My name is Gideon.
My name is Jules, and I am very excited to say that we have Tiny Danza back in the house at long last.
She wants the Tiny D.
Yeah! So, I was just looking at your bio online, and I realized that you guys are like an eight-year-old band now. You've been together for a while. How did the band come together in the first place?
8 years old, wow. We're like 4 years away from band puberty. we all went to high school together, and then we stopped hanging out for years, 4 years or so.
Or there.
And then Craig had a bunch of folk songs, and needed some really good music, so we found the worst musicians he could find, got them together, and we started a folk band.
Actually, a folk band?
Yeah, we were folk band. It was a folk band at first.
Oh, really? Yeah. Gielin was into it, and then Gielin came in and with like some raps and kind of ruined everything. And then, but then we became a rap band suddenly.
We used to do half folk songs, half rap songs at shows.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Actually,
it wasn't. It was it did not go well at all. Bad. I actually the folk songs are good. I liked them.
Gonna do a little like reunion on those later, maybe.
We noticed that during the hip hop stuff, the crowd was really into it, and then during the folk stuff, they would go get a beer,
and we're confused,
and we're very confused.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell us something. We should do more folk. Yeah,
it wasn't subtle.
So then you guys obviously made the choice to split off and do the live hip-hop thing.
Yeah, basically.
And you probably didn't see any change in the amount of folkies coming out, because you apparently didn't have any anyways.
We didn't have any folkies in the first place. So. But it helped because I wasn't involved in the folk songs, and I literally would just stand around for half the set, so... I'm happy about it. Maybe these guys not so much.
Do the shaker thing.
Except they wouldn't put any beans in my shaker. My time was so bad, so it'd just be an empty shaker.
Give him a mic, but keep it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So there was some folk influence in the early days. There was some rap, and I imagine everyone was bringing something a little different to the table. Let's talk about who was bringing what into the sound.
Still kind of what makes us hard to pin down in any specific genre sometimes. Like when I'm writing to blogs, like I don't know what the fuck.
We're jazzy, rap, rock stuff.
And like some of our new stuff is like pop with like epic guitar and stuff. And so yeah, I don't know what to say. But basically from so many different backgrounds, we just kind of found a... we make music that we like, that we would listen to, and it just turns out to be whatever it is, right? Mm.
Well, and people these days are really made by their influences. Whatever you like, you're gonna have a little bit of that and yourself in there. And that's why so many people have these bands that are genreless these days.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, individually, how do you guys see your influences contributing towards the band sound?
Well, anytime there's like a Barbara Streisand-esque rap, that's all me.
Does she do a lot of rapping?
I listen to a lot of the true fans.
Yeah, you have to pay for a membership, but then you get the videos of her online and you can watch. They're hard to pirate, so they don't get around.
It's art form.
Where do you go from there?
What's the original question?
Go on,
what are we all bringing to the table?
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. It's like every time we come in with a new idea, like at first you could like hear the jazz influence from the jazz side of the band and the classical from Santa or Andrew Santaguida. For those listeners who don't know, we call him Santa. And Craig would have some like Usher-esque pop kind of hooks coming in, and I would be rapping like 90s Wu-Tang style because that's what I was listening to. But since then, we've like 8 years, right? We've come into our own little thing, and now it's just we bring in random stuff and we draw influence from everywhere.
Yeah, and with that varied influence, I'm really curious to hear, do you find yourself being more creative as a group or individually bringing separate things in?
We're definitely much more productive working as a group. I think for a long time, as we would bring in our own influences, we were really democratic about our decision making, so everyone would have an opinion and we didn't really have a direction. But now we've since kind of allocated or like chosen Matt Russo as like a quasi band leader, and he kind of makes a lot of decisions on his own. So
musically
it just makes us it's we can make songs faster. They're more totally revamped the way
he dresses us.
He feeds us and
he watches me shower.
Just move your head back and forth all over the brush.
But that's it's interesting, like from how we used to write songs 8 years ago to now is completely different. We're much more efficient. We are also writing a lot, like, I don't want to say a lot more formulaically, but we use some strong formula in our writing, you know, like, we're trying to write pop, so...
Sometimes.
Yes, sometimes. All the time.
Call me up, I'll be there in a second. Thought I was protected, cause I brought protection. But ever since our first kiss, you put me in a mood, a cold shower can't fix. Then you dip, but I couldn't trip, or you'd be on a trip with your next man. All the power in her hands like an X-Man. Plus, flowers in her hand, carousel in Japan. For an hour with a man, and that's just the shit that you showed to me. Everything that glitters ain't gold, you see. Now I'm thinking all that she owes to me. It felt like a chokehold when you were holding me.
Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. Use me, can't I learn a lesson? Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. You shot me down. Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. Know what you did, don't need a confession. Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. You sold me out.
When it flipped, I became so manipulative. Yeah, the way I use love, I should keep it in a clip. The way I use love, I should keep it on my hip. Point it in your face, and now you jumping shit. Instead, you can sit back. Well, I get that money out the ass like the kid shit rags. Now you want that affection, but aren't you forgetting? You tell me not to use love in a sentence.
Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. Use me, can I learn a lesson? Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. You shot.
I hit it, I thought we could, but I can't believe you were fucking with me the whole time.
Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. Use me, can't I learn a lesson? Love is a weapon, love is a weapon. You shot me down.
I put my trust in you once. Yeah, there's nothing like love.
And do you find when you're writing these songs that it's ever, like, really done, or are you constantly tweaking things once you've declared it finished?
It's like a nipple. I never tweak it too much. it is. I mean, it is like a nipple. No, it is.
I guess.
Drop the mic.
Walk off the stage.
No, it's one of those things that, you know, we try to leave it alone, and then we move on, and then you come back, you know, 6 months later just to, you know, start playing it again or revisit it, and inevitably you're going to want to change some things, right?
So sometimes you just got to, like, accept that it's done.
Yeah.
You could just go on forever.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's over tinkering, and all of a sudden you hate the song.
And then you're lost in the song, you don't know what's what.
Where the fuck did we get a cello?
Who even played that?
Yes.
Orchestra? So with all that, what's the dynamic like when you guys are, you know, in the rehearsal space, offstage sort of thing?
Constantly changing, I'd say.
I come in with some writing that they tell me is not good enough. I leave, cry for a little bit. I bring in some other stuff. They also tell me that's awful. And then
eventually we write all these parts for him.
So I can feel like I'm included. You know, I'm like that kid.
It's a lot of bringing stuff to the table that
kind of hit or miss, eh?
It's really hit or miss, and we're getting really comfortable letting things go. So mm-hmm. and listening to and trusting our peers, like it's like years ago I used to come in with a horrible rap, but I was attached to it because it was. You know, I wrote it, and I would have a hard time letting it go, and Craig the same thing, and pretty much all of us. But now we've learned to trust each other because now we realize that there was shit we were bringing to the table, and we should have listened to, you know, our bandmates.
Yeah.
Now we do. Now we trust each other and reject each other. And
absolutely, yeah. And you're old high school buddies too, so I imagine you do at least some things that are not band things when you're together, like you hang out outside of the band format well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you find that helps your cohesion as a band doing non-band things?
Yeah, it really helps to go for a beer. It really helps to be able to get crazy at a party and just not talk about music. That it really helps relieve the tension because we are writing constantly and rehearsing constantly, so it's like,
well, and there's a balance to it because obviously when you're practicing, you know, you're still having fun, you're still playing music, but ultimately you realize, hey shit, the only thing we've done together, you know, for the last year is be in this room and play music together. We should, you know, continue
to
be friends.
To see each other outside of that room. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what's so great about going on trips like touring or recording. Like we went down to LA for 2 weeks to record some songs, and it was like one of the best trips ever because, like, you know, these guys are my family now. Like it's like we've been here friends for 8 years. You know, it's pretty crazy, and it's just nice to, like, we all were staying in the same place, so like we were going about our days doing all those routines together, and none of that is about music. You know, you're there for music, but it's not directly related. So it's just really like a attention breaker, you know. It was so fun.
Attention breaker, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Hanging out is just, it distracts you from the fact that you are working together constantly.
Mm. Oh, for sure. And a lot of bands you see, they get together based solely on their musical interests, and it doesn't work out because, I mean, first and foremost, you gotta friends.
Be cool, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, do you guys think that adds to your music as well because of the chemistry?
I think so, especially the live show. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're out having fun, I'm sure an audience member could tell if you were acting like you're having fun or if you're actually having fun.
Or if you're just music. Openly not having fun.
Or, yeah, just standing there looking boring as shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about the live show. I was wondering if you guys have like a pre-show ritual, either individually or as a band.
No band ones really. Just be late.
Be late.
Wonder where everyone is. Like 5 minutes before you're supposed to go on.
Yeah, that's the ritual. At every show, we lose one band member right when we're about to go on, and it's like
always a different guy.
That's usually Craig.
Are you kidding me? Don't blame that on me. It's also Galen.
I was molded by a life of hard work, trials,
tribulations, a life that brought hurt and wild situations, frustrations, patience, I got none, like an out of work doc, hun. In this paper chase, I'm a shredder. Bank statements in three different names, a go-getter. Define true love, type of cat who never let her in. The trendsetter for life, and I drink like a veteran. Time and time again, I'ma tell them I'm not trying to be better than the rest, I'm just selling my guts on these tracks. And I know everybody these days, and the motherfucking grandma raps, I get it, huh. Let these fools try and get it, I'm not sympathetic, cause they all synthetic. You can take away my breath, but forget it, cause you could never take away a word I ever said with it. This madness grinds with the finest friction. Cities on that mission, we just infusing that soul with a diamond diction. But what we doing in the world so dense, so with this intelligence, girl, from the real, it's a shame we got capped by the game and a little bit of affluence. Listen, this decade is our time. Nasty told me this world is mine. You can roll with the finest, cause
can't take it sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm tired of it, watching us build this world then put fire to it. And I've spent my time helping to fight it all, but in the end it seems so hopeless, and I'm slowly losing focus. You make me wanna throw cars around this ant farm. I'm picking fights with the police at dawn. You make me wanna go scream at the streetlights, hang the bitches upside down so they can see it right. Yo, what the fuck is with the apathy? I try to stand up, we all impassively get mad at me. That's a tragedy, I got capacity, I calm it in your sight line, out in the night time. Peeping over my shoulder as I look in the mirror, I reflect on everything I left behind. All the little things that should've cost me my life, and all the people I stepped on just to get by. I left on the bandwagon, haven't looked back since. The fact is we get slept on like a mattress. Why these actors master this talk? I walk a thin line with my life in this backpack, and it's so dark. Try to hold off on just hating these rappers. So far above the game, I just weigh in the rafters. Watch them running plays, and you know I gotta laugh. It's no joke on the stage, though. We flow like the rabbits, and it's so dab. It's about time we got noticed. Came a long way, so much weight on these shoulders. So as I hold this mic, get my B-boy stance. They say we might blow up, so ain't no way I'm gonna blow this chance. We'll be right back.
when you're actually on stage, what is it that you're taking away from that experience? Because it really is something else, like sharing your music with a crowd who's really vibing on it.
Yeah. What do we take away from that? I don't know. It's probably the most fun thing I've ever done in the history of me. Shit gets real up there. It's awesome.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. That's what I take away from it. I can't wait to get up there again, so I really just enjoy the moment and have fun up there.
It really is like a meditation in a way that you have to be present every moment for about 45 minutes or an hour, depending on how long your set is. Like, you can't stop. You know, you're not allowed to, like, oh, I don't feel like doing this anymore, I'm going to leave, or whatever.
Yeah, let me do that riff over again.
Yeah, exactly. You're not recording, it's a totally different vibe. So when you come on, and it's so hyped up, when you come off stage, it's hard sometimes to, like, transition into, like, being a networker or being, you know, like, like being someone who can hang out with your friends and fans and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And what is it that you want the audience to take away on the other side of the coin there?
I think the biggest thing about being a musician, being on stage, is not to... I mean, I feel like there's a mistake if you want the audience to take something from it and you try to push that. Like, you're not the audience. You just got to do your thing up there, and they'll take what they want. And if they like it, they like it. If they don't, like, you can't shove it down their throats. You just got to be true to yourself up there. As horribly cheesy as that sounds, like, you just got to do your thing, and hopefully they take away what you take away from your favorite show, you know? And that's kind of what we're doing up there, just trying to entertain ourselves.
Absolutely.
Well, not as perverted as it sounds.
Yeah, no, for sure. It sounds extremely perverted. When you guys actually are up on stage, you're talking about how it's sort of important not to think. I mean, where does that come from? What's the mentality stem from? Is it just that, I mean, if you're out of the moment, you're going to screw up, or is it just enjoying yourself?
Just enjoying ourselves, I think. It's like, it's not so much a mentality as just kind of how we've learned how to do it.
Just what happens.
Yeah. You have to be, like, rehearsed enough. You're not thinking about what you're doing.
Exactly.
You're just kind of, like, enjoying it, like everyone else is enjoying
it. Your body just takes over.
Yeah. Muscle memory at that point, and just enjoy the audience. When the audience is giving you that energy, just fucking take it in like heroin and just go with it.
Yeah. Like you said, the stage is like a sweaty, high-energy, one-take kind of situation. For the most part, the studio is a very different experience. Let's talk about the difference between your stage and studio experience.
Yeah, night and day. There's a lot of lying around on the floor. Like, the studio experience is, like, so good. You get to, you just get to be like a child, you know? Just have a lot of fun, play around, be very unprofessional when it's not your turn, and then when it's your turn, just get in the zone and take care of business, and then turn around and act like a child again. Maybe that's just me, though. The child thing.
I think, like, on the stage, like, when you're done with it, you just kind of put it behind you, and you're like, do it again next time. But in the studio, it's like, you're making decisions that are going to...
Let's do that again.
You're also making decisions that, like, you're not going to change. Like, when you're done with the song, that's what it is.
That's it. Yeah,
so it's a lot of pressure to, like, really 100% be on board with every decision.
And there's a huge amount more pressure in the studio, obviously, because that's how it's going to be set in stone forever.
Yeah, like, you can do as many takes as you want, but eventually that's what it's going to sound like, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, for sure. And unless you're actually coming in and saying, you know what, actually, I'm going to totally rework this part all of a sudden.
Exactly.
Most people don't do that in the studio.
No, right. It's like, once the song's out there, it's out there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how do you guys go about your recording? Is it, I'm assuming, not live off the floor? You guys do to a click?
No, we do to a click, and then we do, like, a lot of production work. Like,
sure.
We do, like, one track at a time, and mostly through, like, digital workstations.
Sure, and I've noticed that your more recent releases have been very highly produced. Is that something that you guys are paying more attention to these days in terms of sort of a pop accessibility?
Yeah, standpoint? I mean, the way we do bring in different songs and different influences, like, some of, like, in our next few releases, you'll see that this last song we just released, Weapon, is like a mega produced pop kind of song, right? Next one Actually, the next one we released kind of produced heavily as well, but the few following are very indie and like kind of lo-fi, and it's just like whatever the song is calling for, we're gonna do. And we, the pop ones are gonna sound like pop ones, and the indie ones are gonna sound indie.
More about the specifics of the actual songs and what you guys find appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just like whatever you're feeling in the song. Trying to make you go in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of you know, consistency the fans want, but they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
We're all over the map.
On my feet, so I've been writing to this pain in my hand. I let the ink soak and leave a stain on the beat, cause I've been on a roll, but not the role they put me in. Getting old, but I'm feeling brand new again. Blemish on my face, cause I'm breaking out of the role they put me in. Coach about to take you out and put me in. Been working hard in the gym, huh? Now I'm feeling like a heavyweight and I don't even lift, bruh. We've been down before, about to give my team a lift up. Baby steps to the champagne in my sip cup. No matter what they say, it's never too late, like a quarter to eight, because my eyes are feeling bigger than the food on my plate. And when I'm done, I want some more.
You know, I mean, for at least a little bit of it, you are writing with the audience in mind, but you also got to be writing from your own perspective and your own heart. And
like I said, they're not going to like everything, and if you're trying to please everybody, you're not going to please anybody yet.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like what you said about the being on stage before. You know, you have to be having fun, and that's the first most important thing.
Right.
Because if you make music that you don't enjoy, it's going to come through.
Yeah. Yes, like, absolutely.
These guys don't enjoy what they're doing. Why would I listen to it, you know? So, I mean, really these days it is much more about finding whatever audience that you already have is out there.
Exactly. And there's so many people out there. And your fans, as a band, your fans are out there.
Yeah.
If you're like, you know, like I have so many friends in bands, and just going to their shows, every time I go to a different show, or just go to a random show that I want to see, every audience is different. Like, they look different. They're out there, you know. If you crazy garage punk, you're gonna find crazy garage punk listeners.
It's true, yeah. And now your last album was very, I would say, kind of jazzy and funky. Are you intentionally taking it in a different direction from that now, or what are you doing with the next recordings?
Whether it was an intentional leap from that, I don't know. It's definitely. Some songs still have a little bit of that in it, and we do a lot of like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to make a song like this and just do it?
Yeah, and we just try it.
And we just try it, and then it inevitably gets the Tiny Danza spin on it, and it becomes somewhat cohesive with the other songs.
And if it doesn't work, it just never sees the light of day.
Exactly. Our trash bin is overflowing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like. We need a clean up. We need a garbage man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to the audience experience, one of the first things about grabbing members of the audience is the name. And Tiny Danza is resoundingly one of the best names I've ever heard. You changed it briefly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you released anything in the time that you were Nixon. what precipitated the name change and then changing it back?
I mean, we signed with a label, and immediately they were thinking about, like, commercial viability of the name Tiny Danza.
Elton John's gonna sue someone.
Yeah, yeah. Like, two lawsuits on our hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Tiny Danza and Elton John.
It was, and kind of, you know, we were excited to be on a label that was doing commercial things and having success, and
they were promoting you guys pretty heavily.
Yeah, so we just
eventually they would have.
Yeah, exactly. No, we kind of wanted to change it ourselves. Some of us were strongly opposed to it. Some of us are pretending we're strongly opposed to it. Now that it's all said and done. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. We weren't all on the same page, but there are some people. Matt, for instance, didn't want to change it. Was like very, very upset about it. And I was like, whatever, fuck it, let's just do it and have a great time.
Yeah, sure. We're still gonna sing the same songs, whatever
it
is. Yeah,
and it's just a name, and I liked the way Nixon looked on paper. To be honest with you, I liked the. I saw like it on T-shirts and stuff. Mm. Mostly because there's already a company that makes T-shirts. Or something.
So you could picture it because you had pictured it.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Changing it back was probably the best thing we've done, and
absolutely,
our fans are responding.
More.
They're already kind of coming out of the woodwork, and we haven't done anything for 2 years, so
it's nice
to have them back.
Just from that unfair genre-based perspective, when you say the name Nixon, you're thinking of some 80s punk band or something like that.
Yeah.
And so just essentially visually, it makes much more sense to call yourself something a little more goofy, a little more fun, because hip-hop is a little bit more amenable to that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't have any really jokey songs. We have maybe one or two, but it's still, you know, it's a classic band name situation. We wanted to come up with a band name, so we got hammered, and we wrote down the most ridiculous, funny stuff we could find.
Yeah.
Took a vote, and just stuck with it.
Tiny Danza.
That's, boom.
Yeah.
Now we make...
And you can kind of, like, get away with anything with that kind of name.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
No one really knows what to expect. I mean, in the end, I still believe it doesn't matter, but we're happy to be back to Tiny Danza. Like, the music's going to speak for itself no matter what your name is, right?
It's true, yeah. And I mean, if all you've got to go on is your name, then you're in trouble already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. that's just the way it goes. For me, that's just the way it goes. I need what I need. This is the life I chose. I don't care. Anyone can see. Yeah, I'm killing it, killing it. Yeah, I'm killing it, killing it. We talking crazy shit. You know, kids, you gotta babysit. We at the bar and it's wetter than your lady. Yeah, it's not licking shots, but we licking shot glasses. Down to the last drop, wearing sunglasses at night. Crazy and I don't know how to act right, that's right. Future like I'm looking in a flashlight, that's bright. Taking in smoke off a black knife, and I think I'm dying here, yeah, but that's life.
Try to get them hoes in a white dress. Push the powder to the nose just to find ass. Yeah, call me the Cheshire Cat. Big smile, pink lines, down with that. That's just the way it goes.
Feel the itch right down to the cuticle. Oh, no. I'm walking to the edge and I'm waiting for my cue to go.
Oh mama, help me, ripple, don't send me on my way.
And if I die tonight, wear white to the funeral. I can see it now, it's fucking beautiful.
That's just the way it goes.
You mentioned you were in hibernation for 2 years. There was the name change and the change back. What else was going on while you were behind the scenes there?
We were writing a lot of music, and we were kind of running it through the label machine and doing a lot of presentations, listening parties with guys who aren't in the band and don't have the same vision as us.
Like label people or friends?
Label people.
Okay.
Label people. And I guess they didn't really like the you know, we didn't really sound like anything else on the radio, and they didn't like that, and we didn't like what was on the radio.
Yeah.
So we were at an impasse. And
well, and then the question becomes, you know, would you like to start sounding like a completely different band and get on the radio, or would you like to continue to be yourselves?
Yeah. And well, I think what we found out is and these new releases, especially the commercial ones that we're releasing, I'm 100% sure that these are going to be on the radio, and we like them.
Yeah.
So, label be damned, like, we're not, we...
You can make stuff that sounds good
that we like,
to
that,
you,
yeah,
and the radio.
I think,
yeah,
that came down to just, like, they weren't a good fit for us, and we weren't a good fit for them, and there was just no middle ground, kind of. So we just kind of had to go our separate ways in that one.
Yeah,
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 for sure.
It was, there was no hard feelings or anything like that.
Just neither of us would have been happy, so we both just left,
yeah,
to go be happy by ourselves, kind of.
It's like,
yeah,
breaking up with a girlfriend, but with lawyers.
Yeah, that's pretty,
yeah,
much
really
what it's
serious
like.
Got a prenup on that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys were saying that you're getting more comfortable in knowing what you want as a band, having a little bit more of a formula. You're, you know, telling somebody if you think something sounds bad instead of holding back and saying, no, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are ready to move forward in a much more concentrated way.
Yeah, yeah. We're, you know, we've been dicking around long enough. We're ready to get serious, and we've got a lot of material to release coming up soon, and we're going to release
one song that nobody's heard exclusively on your podcast. So
yes,
that song's called "Killing It," and it's about doing drugs and killing it.
Nice.
Being on the scene and wilding out.
Yeah,
so, I think you'll see soon enough that we've focused and we're ready to move forward.
Fantastic. Yeah. And the big comeback show, you're supporting a CD release on March 22nd at the Rivoli.
Yeah.
What else is coming up for the band? You've got some new music, and what else is coming?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who hasn't heard us, hopefully they're going to be happy with the new stuff. But I'm excited to see all of our old fans come out, because we're playing the show exclusively of new material, maybe one of the classics. Maybe two of the classics. Who knows? If they start chanting, they used to chant for Hindsight. And we might if they chant.
You can't say no to the chants.
Yeah,
we have to rehearse that one.
Yeah, we might have to play that again, because we haven't played it in like 3 years. No, but we've got a lot of new material. I'm just excited to see what everybody thinks. So come out to the show and see what we've been up to for the last 2 years.
That's fantastic. Excellent. Well, absolutely. Where can the people find you at home so that they can keep track of you in your new up-and-coming phase?
We've got all the social media things like every other band has. So
just tinydanza.com, and it's all there.
Yeah, tinydanza.com, Twitter/tinydanzamusic, Facebook, tinydanza. It's Google Tiny Danza and you'll find all of it on the front page.
The usual suspects.
Yeah.
Well, guys from Tiny Danza, thank you so much for coming out tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to see you guys again. Good to perform in the living room.
Yeah, it's good to
be
back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's good to be back.
This is the first time we've played for people in like over a year.
Yeah.
Well, so, we're so glad to have you back.
Our pleasure.
Excellent. This has been another episode of the Roundtable Podcast on Roundtable Radio. Before we go, I'm going to remind you that we have an app available for free in the App Store. It has all of our archives, all of our videos, our player, our reviews, and our ugly mugs. We will also be back next week with another fantastic band called Petty Victories. Two girls with amazing harmonies and beautiful tunes. It's going to be a great time. If you would like to submit a song, book an interview, or tell us what we're doing wrong, email us at indieroundtable@gmail.com. That's indieroundtable@gmail.com. Happy listening, kids. We'll see you next week.
Amazing effects you guys get.